With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this month's show, we'll be looking at the top of both Division 1 North and Division 1 South, as we're joined by Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, from Tom Feeney from the Yorkshire Evening Post, and by Adam Lord from the Lancashire Evening Post. All of that and a little bit more on this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. Welcome. So, welcome everybody to this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. Bit earlier than normal, that's because I've got prior arrangements going on next Friday, so I thought we'll get the monthly show out of the way, but in a nice way. I'm not saying, you know, I'll put it to one side or anything like that, because it's actually quite exciting up at the top of both divisions. Later in the show, we're going to be discussing Lancaster City with Adam Lord, and we're going to be speaking Farsley Celtic with Tom Feeney. That's Division 1 North. But we're going to start this week's show with Division 1 South, and that can only mean one thing. Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian joins us now. Hello, Andy. How's things?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm all good. So yeah, good. We've got a very, very exciting title race developing in Division 1 North. Is the same happening in Division 1 South, Simo?
Yeah, it's still on. It's still on. The title race remains very much alive. People who maybe haven't been following it as closely, we had a proper hold your breath moment on Saturday when both of the title contenders were beaten. Witten, surprisingly so, they lost at home to lowly Rugby Town, which brought to an end what was a 13-match unbeaten run, of which 11 of those were wins, and that's what had carried them into second spot in the table and had caused them to still be putting pressure on Shore Lane. Shore Lane lost narrowly 1-0 at Basford, which is probably less of a surprise. Basford's home record is really strong this season, and they're also in quite good form. So I'm sure there was kind of a glut of mixed emotions in both dressing rooms on the weekend. And tellingly, in an interview I did with one of Witten Albion's management team after they've lost to Rugby, obviously they were disappointed to lose that game. Rugby, incidentally, big shout out to them, the first team to win a league game at Windsor Park this season. And one of the remarks that first team coach Reggie Maguire made to me was Shore Lane will be getting back on the bus at Basford, gutted to have lost and worried about what Witten would have done. Found out that Witten had dropped points as well, and he said it would have felt like Shore Lane had won. So I think very much, despite both of them losing, in a weird way, was a better day for Shore Lane, because they got away scot-free with dropping the points. Witten definitely were kicking themselves. That said, both teams bounced back on Tuesday night. Shore Lane needed only half an hour to see off Loughborough with 4-0 up and cruise to victory. Witten were made to work much, much harder at Leek, but still came away with a 2-1 win. And basically where that leaves us is, as we were, Witten remain 9 points behind, two games in hand on Shore Lane, and still with an absolutely mouthwatering prospect of a direct game against Shore Lane next month. So they'll hope to have kept the title race alive by then. And obviously that's a game they will have to win unless Shore Lane drop any more points. But yeah, it's as you were, but there has been a little twist along the way. So it's genuinely exciting.
And how important, obviously, Shore Lane beating Loughborough Dynamo 4-0. But for Witten to go to Leek and get a result there when Leek really needed the points, that must have took some nerve.
Yeah, definitely. And very much a great win. And also in the kind of mix of that was that Witten had beaten Leek 5-2 7 days earlier and were 4-0, 4-1 up at half-time in that game, and had played arguably, or certainly in my opinion, their best football of the season. So they then went for the return game to play a Leek side very much smarting from the fact that they got a good spanking at Windsor Park 7 days earlier. They put them a much better showing at Leek on Tuesday night, but Witten still had just enough for them. It's interesting what you say about Leek, and it was something that Gary Martindale, Witten's assistant manager, said to me after the games, that he felt it was a must-win game for Leek to keep alive their hopes of getting into the playoffs. So Witten were conscious that they really were going to be made to work for the 3 points on Tuesday. So they were ecstatic to get it. To be fair to Witten, every time they've lost this season, they've gone and won the next game. They have shown that resilience, that they are capable of bouncing back. And they did that once again, which takes huge mental strength. They deserve a lot of credit for that. And they're keeping Shore Lane honest, and the race, like I said, remains very much alive.
And obviously, next week we've got the MPL show, but then the week after we've got Evo Stick Extra. And what we're going to start doing on Evo Stick Extra is starting to track the title races in both Division 1 South and Division 1 North, and keeping abreast of it. But we should also mention the playoff race in Division 1 South as well. We mentioned Leek Town there. It feels like Rushden Diamonds, with the games in hand, they are in box seat in a way, but... it looks like a three-way race for two spots now. Newcastle Town, Rushden Diamonds and Basford United, with Spalding sitting there getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, Spalding are okay. Spalding are safe, I think, and they would have to have a pretty drastic loss of form in the remaining games not to, I think, finish in the top three, never mind not to finish in the playoffs. So less of a mention for them this month. They've done a great job to get where they are, but I think they're all set for the playoffs and all set to have a home tie in the semi-finals. It's really interesting underneath. I mean, a couple of times this year, and I have to eat my words a little bit, I've said I don't think Newcastle have got a chance of finishing in the top five, and they're holding on in there. They've only lost one of the past eight games, and that game was against Shoreline. So Shoreline, the only one to have beaten them in that little sequence. Fair play to them. They're really hanging on in there. One thing I've done before we went live today is to have a look at the run-ins to see if I could maybe have a steer on who's going to fill those places. The one worry I would still have for Newcastle is by far they have one of the most difficult run-ins in the remaining games they've got to play. It depends how you kind of spin it, though, because they've got to play Lincoln home and away. They've got to play Shoreline again. They've got to play Rushden away. And they've got to play Leek and Basford in the last two games of the season. So that is a horrendous run-in compared to the other teams in the playoff race. That said, if you're Scott Dundas, you could say, well, if we pick up points in those games, we're guaranteed to finish the playoffs because we're taking points off teams we're directly in competition with. But I would still say, even though they're fourth at the moment and in good form, that they are most vulnerable of the teams in that little race. Quick mention for Rushden. Yes, they had that little bump in the road where they lost three successive games. But to be fair to them, they were against Spalding, Basford and Witten. They've since followed that up with back-to-back wins to get themselves back in the top five. I think they'll be okay. They've got nine games left and five of them are away. But they won't mind that because their away record is much better. They don't have anywhere near as many head-to-heads as Newcastle. Although they do still have to come up to Witten next week. They've got to play Leek away as well. So there's a little bit of work to do. But I think they're in good shape. Basford... the disadvantage they've got is they've played more games than everybody else, but they are in good form. Like I say, you know, they beat Shoreline last week, so they're feathering the cap for them. I think they've got a good chance, and looking at their fixture list, they're at home to Newcastle on the final day of the season. What a big game that might be if both of them are still in the race. Quick mention for two more teams who I think have still got a chance. Leek, mathematically, obviously, they're only 4 points off the top five. The massive concern for them is they've not won any of the past five games. I've lost four of those. Big worry. They've got seven games left, but one thing that is massively in their favour is six of those are at home. So they very much still will feel their hopes are alive. Start with Spalding this weekend, which is now a huge game. They have still got to host Rushden and Lincoln, and wow. they go to Newcastle on Easter Monday, which is A, a derby, and B, potentially a massive game there as well. So they're not quite out of it yet, but if I was the manager, I would be concerned that they've hit a poor run of results exactly the wrong time of the season. And lastly, and I think they still got a chance.
He's going to say Lincoln, everyone. Go on. Definitely.
There's a couple of reasons for that. In the last 10 games, if you look at the form standings, only Shoreline and Witten have scored more points than them. They're in great form. They've won seven games in that run. And similar to what we're saying about Newcastle, if you look at their running, they have a chance to take points off direct rivals. They've got to play Newcastle home and away, Leek away, Spalding at home. They've got less margin for error, admittedly, and are currently 6 points off the top five. But they are the form team. If they can keep that going a little bit longer, they, you know, every year we come up with this cliche, don't we, that someone always sneaks up on the rails and gets in. Could Lincoln be that team? So, yes, I think Newcastle, Rushden and Basford are in the better positions. Leek, with that run of home games, and Lincoln, the fact they're in form, we just can't quite yet count them out. So, I mean, the good thing is for us following it, what a great April it's set up for.
And we should say for Lincoln to be eighth and plausibly getting into the playoffs. They've been 18th a few times this season. It'd be a cracker's that. But anyway, just a quick mention down the bottom end. I don't want to put you in this position because it's your patch, but it's looking a bit bleak for Northwich Vicks at the moment. And with that, rugby have pulled out enough results to try and have opened up a bit of a buffer to Loughborough.
Yeah, I mean, we're saying how exciting it is for the title and the playoff race, the relegation race. Wow, it's got an almighty April coming up. Rugby have had a brilliant 7 days. They won away at Romulus and followed that up with that remarkable win at Witten. And by the way, they did deserve to win that game. They showed enormous spirit. And if I'm a rugby supporter or a member of the rugby management team, I'll take so much heart from that, that they definitely believe that they can stay up. Showing that in their fight on the field. And they've got themselves just a little bit of breathing space. But as I said, I was looking at the run-ins for the teams in the other races. The run-ins for the relegation battle is absolutely fascinating. Rugby play Northwich and Loughborough in successive games shortly. And if they can take enough points from those two, I think that is I think that settles it. I think that will condemn the other two to the drop. Of the three, I would be certainly most concerned if I was a Loughborough supporter. They will take some heart from the fact that they too have to play rugby in Northwich during their run-in. But of their remaining six games, four of them are on the road, and Loughborough, by some distance, are the worst travellers in Division 1 South this season. They've lost 15 of their 17 away games, and it's for that reason that I just cannot see them getting out of the bottom two. I would be really fear for them. They've also got the worst defensive record in the division. There's no sign of that changing anytime soon. Northwich, you can make more of a case for them, although it's deeply concerning that they had a little encouraging run in the middle of February where they kept a three clean sheets in a row, picked up a couple of really creditable draws. Since then, they've had a really tough run of games and have not been able to take anything from them. But worryingly for Paul Moore, they've taken some spankings in that run as well, and none more so than on Tuesday night when they went down to Stamford and lost 4-0. So they've now lost four of the past five. Have shipped 17 goals in that run as well. So they really are on the slide at the moment. Vicks do have hope, though, in the remaining eight games. Five of them are at home. And in that run, they've got to play Carlton, Gresley, Rugby and Loughborough. All have to come to Northwich. So you can still make a case for Vicks, but obviously they need to show some sign that they're going to stop this rot of conceding goals for fun. So in short, I think it's between Vicks and Rugby, even though Rugby have got that gap at the moment. And we just, while it does look bleak, you're quite right, we just can't quite count Northwich out because they genuinely do, and it's always the cliche that managers say that, but they genuinely do have their destiny in their own hands at the moment. If they pick up points in those home games, they are going to get out of it. So again, April is great, isn't it, again, as observers, at the both ends of the table, real thrilling races still to be played out. Nothing has been settled.
Well, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, a big thank you for coming on the show to paint a picture with words about how fantastic Division 1 South is at the moment going into April. Where's the best place to keep abreast of everything that's going on in that Cheshire world of non-league football?
Yeah, northwichguardian.co.uk. And as I said, nearly every game at the moment, there's something riding on it for Witten and Northwich Victoria. On social media, it's @Simo_on_sport. And let's see what twists and turns we have. I think it's going to be alive. Right up until the end of the season. And finally, one thing I didn't mention is Witten still have got to play Northwich again yet as well. So, you know, bring it on. What a month April's going to be.
So a big thank you there to Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian for joining us with a little run through the ins and outs of Division 1 South. But just looking back a bit on Tuesday night, and that match between Leek Town and Witten Albion was certainly a biggie. It finished 2-1 to Witten Albion. And after the match, Leek Town TV caught up with both managers, starting off with an interview with Cal McCauley. Then after that, we hear from Ant Danilik.
Carl, a couple of questions for you. Tough game tonight, 2-1 victory against Leek Town. What are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I think it's always going to be a tough game. You come away to Leek Town fighting to get in the playoffs, and we were a good side, and we knew that before the game. For the first half, was very good in terms of us going forward, and the front four, the movement was really good, and me getting in. And we end up taking our chances. In the second half, was a different story for Leek come at us, which we expected, and probably deserve something out of the game in terms of trying to get something from him. We hung on at times, and maybe poor finishing from the Leek players in the final third maybe didn't get them that point what they wanted.
Do you think, obviously the playoffs are looming large for yourselves, you're in with a good chance for those. You look at the teams in and around the playoffs, it's tough up there. Do you have any targets set for yourself? Is promotion expected? What kind of your chairman, what does he say to you in terms of where you want to finish?
Chairman's brilliant. He doesn't put any pressure on us. He's similar to ourselves. We take each game as it comes, and every game that comes our way, we want to win 3 points. We've done that tonight, and gives us a good chance of creeping up and getting points on other teams. Long may that continue, and we'll look forward to Saturday, and we'll make sure that we're prepared right and we're ready for the game against Rugby.
Carl, that'll do for me, fella. All the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Okay, Ant, 2-1 defeat to Witten. It's a tough spell at the moment, results-wise. What are your thoughts at the moment?
We deflated at the minute. I mean, like you say, it's a tough patch that we're going through. And just going on to today's game, I thought we showed a lot of character that had been missing the last two or three games, whereas I think if we'd have shown the commitment and the work ethic that we have done tonight, we'd have got more out of the previous three or four games. So, like I say, it's a bit deflating. We're a bit down on confidence. We're just waiting for a little bit of luck. I think looking at tonight's game, their second that went in turned out to be the winner. Three or four of the lads have said it was offside, so we'll have to have a look at that. But just seems at the minute we're not getting a rub of the green at the minute now. Up until this point today, I think we haven't played well enough anyway to earn that bit of luck. I think you need to create a bit of your own luck in football, and you do that by working hard and getting through these great patches. I think tonight, if we can show that sort of character and determination, I think we'll turn the corner quickly, and hopefully we do start in Saturday, because although it's a long shot for us now, if we can put a little run together, we won't be a million miles away. But like I say, we've left ourselves a mountain to climb, and against a good Witten side, really, to be fair. I think the second half there, we've made them look quite average side, so it's pleasing from that point of view. But we don't want to be happy with losing games of football. That's what's happened. There's four on the bounce now where we've not won, but I think we're still creating chances. We've had a couple of decent chances, a couple cleared off the line tonight, so it's just it's football at the end of the day, and we always said that we'd have a rough patch somewhere along the way, and it's just happened to come at the wrong time of the season, so that's the most frustrating thing about it. But hopefully, like you say, there's another game Saturday. The games are coming thick and fast now, and we need to get out of this little blip as quickly as possible.
I think, you know, I've obviously seen the game tonight, and for me, the players were committed. They certainly played with determination. They played with commitment. That's what I saw. As a manager, when you're going through a difficult spell like this, how do you keep the players? You know, it must be difficult. The confidence is low, as you say, and how do you keep them going?
Football's like that. I mean, there's not many people in football where they can say they've had long periods of success and they're always winning games. As far as non-league football goes, you're very lucky if you can be in a side that's really successful and you go on and win games week in, week out. I think it's important for, like I say, when we are losing games, we do feel deflated after games and a bit low on confidence. But at the start of the games, the dressing rooms, as it always is, whether we've won five on the bounce or lost five on the bounce, it's after the game where that atmosphere starts creeping in a little bit. And I mean, Donna said in the dressing room after, winning games breeds confidence, but again, losing games is the same sort of thing where it just knocks your confidence. So it's important that the lads stick together, and I think that's what gets you through it, with the lads sticking together, because we have got a cracking dressing room. They're all pulling in the same direction, and like I say, hopefully it's just a matter of time before we turn the corner.
Finally, Spalding Potomac Saturday, another tough game. What can you tell us about them?
Well, we know all about Spalding. It'll be a physical encounter, be a direct side, and it'll be a tough game for us. But I'm hoping if we show the character that we have shown tonight and the spirit, we'll be able to match them physically, and hopefully then our quality will come through, and these half chances and chances we're creating, hopefully we'll get find the back of the net. I think we're just missing Grice. You're just finding, I think if he gets one, he'll go on and he'll run. That's what I'm hoping anyway, because he's down on confidence himself at the minute. But goal scorers are like that, and as soon as he can get out of that little dry patch, hopefully he can kick on then and score some goals.
Ant, you're a gentleman. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
For a few minutes. Cheers.
So a big thank you there to Leek Town TV. That was Ant Danilik there, the manager at Leek Town, and before that was Witton Albion boss Cal McCauley. So a big month coming up in Division 1 South. Shaw Lane currently out in front, 9-point lead over Witton Albion. Witton Albion do have two games in hand. Spalding United looking comfortable in third position. Newcastle Town in fourth position on 61 points, 4 points behind Spalding United. Then you've got Rushden and Diamonds, the wild card in all of this. They're on 58 points in fifth position, but they do have a game in hand over Newcastle Town and Spalding United. And they also have three games in hand over Basford United, who are currently tied with them on 58 points in sixth position. And Leek Town, they're in seventh on 54 points, 4 points back from the playoff positions now. And then you've got, as Simo mentioned earlier, Lincoln United there, 6 points from the player positions, having played just 33 games. So there you go. But that's it for Division 1 South for this month. It's now time to look at Division 1 North. So, Division 1 North this season, we're going to try and make sense of it. Obviously, we're going to have a reporter coming on from the other side of the Pennines in Lancashire as we cover Lancaster City. But let's cover Farsley Celtic, because Farsley Celtic, when we last spoke to this next correspondent, Tom Feeney from the Yorkshire Evening Post, Farsley Celtic were nowhere. And he made the outlandish claim on last month's show, did Tom, that, oh, Farsley, I've got every confidence they're going to catch Lancaster City. Well, they have now. But then on Tuesday night, they got beat. So I can't work this out. Tom Feeney joins me now from the Yorkshire Evening Post. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. This is exciting, though, isn't it? Up at the top of Division 1 North. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? And I think the big thing for Farsley, when I said that a few weeks ago, it's interesting that the games I thought were bankers for them, including, you know, facing Gaul at home, are the games they've actually lost. So it really has been an interesting few weeks for Farsley. You know, you look at where they are and the confidence that seems to be there in the side. The big thing for them is they do seem to be a team that they can lose a game and they don't, you know, get too disheartened with it. That 4-2 loss against Clitheroe will have hurt the side, because they are a team that normally, when they take a lead, they, you know, we're in front within 10 minutes, they're normally quite good at actually maintaining that. But for some reason, it just didn't work for them. I know Richard Marshall scored a screamer as well for Celtic as well in the end. But, you know, you just look at this table. I think this could be last day goal difference. It really could now be going down to that limit, because I can't see Farsley Celtic and Lancaster, either team particularly, losing too many games or dropping too many points towards the end of the season. And that is where I think Farsley have that advantage, because they've got a team of goal scorers. They've gained some heavy victories in the last few months. And hopefully for Farsley, you know, that will lead to them gaining promotion, because, you know, I've covered a few games for Farsley this season, and they're just, even when they were outside the playoff places, you know, they had a lot of games in hand, it has to be said, but there was still that real belief from everyone, from the players to the coaching staff to the fans, that this was their year, that they would gain promotion. And I just feel that they've got the confidence to do it. They've got some real good attacking threats. Defensively, it's been a bit disappointing, actually. They've conceded quite a few goals recently, but before that, they've got a real solid defence. So I'll put my neck on the line again and say Farsley will do it. I'm going to say this could go down to last day and goal difference. It really could. It's going to be such a dramatic end to the season.
And if it is goal difference, I mean, they do say, don't they, if you're scraping 1-0 wins, then that's title winning form. And, well, Lancaster City are doing the odd 1-0, but Farsley Celtic, they're not getting 1-0s. They're getting, well, fours, fives, sevens in some cases. They're not frightened of scoring, are they?
No, I mean, you know, when you look at it, they are the top goal scorers in the division with, I think it's something like 85, 86 goals so far. And they have the best goal difference throughout the division as well. So, you know, at the end of the season, that could be the difference now. But what they have to, you know, put a lot of, really, a lot of the reliance has been on James Walshaw and the goals that he's scored, because he's the division's top goal scorer, and for a reason, because he's someone with so much experience at leagues higher, and it has just come to fruition for them. And what impresses me with Farsley is when they go a goal up, they're not one of these teams that sit back. And I know once in a while it has backfired a little bit. Maybe they've been caught out, you know. It then gets to 1-1 and the other team has a bit of momentum and they, in one or two cases, have been able to gain victory. But with Farsley, they go, you know, even when they're 2 or 3-0 up, they're still going for the goals. They're not a team that sit back and think, right, we've done enough. And at the end of the season, if Farsley and Lancaster are both on level points, that will be the reason why Farsley gain promotion on goal difference, because they've just got that mentality of what's the point in scoring 1 or 2 when you can score 4 or 5. And again, you know, I just think this is going to be such a dramatic end to the season between these two teams. And you just look at the fixtures that they've got coming up. I can't see either of them dropping too much. And it is just going to be, you know, a fantastic climax. And hopefully, you know, I'll say it from the Yorkshire correspondent, that I'm hopeful that it is Farsley Celtic that gain promotion.
And just while we've got you on, just a quick mention for Ossett Town as well. And, well, Brighouse Town are still in with a shout as well. But Ossett Town, they're still in the playoff picture. It's a remarkable feat this season, I feel, for Grant Black there at Ossett Town. But it's looking like Scarborough are probably out of it now. There is still time in the season, obviously, but we are here to speculate in a way and generate excitement. But it is looking increasingly likely now that Ossett Town are definitely going to be in this. Brighouse an outside bet, and Scarborough an even more outside bet. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think when you look at Scarborough and Brighouse, if either of these two teams were able to go on a fantastic run, I think, you know, they can do it. But you just look at Scarborough, I think it's been a case, for Brighouse especially, it's been a case of maybe just one too many draws. I think they've got the joint highest draws at home record for the season. It's something like 9 for the season at home, which, you know, and there's been a couple of games in them where really they should have won them. You know, they've just been a little bit unlucky, really. And I think Paul Quinn won't be too disheartened with that, because he's building a side. You know, he's got quite a few young players there. So if they were to narrowly miss out, it wouldn't be a disaster. And I think for Scarborough, you know, the whole thing that they're returning home, yeah, doing it for their former chairman as well, the hope is that that will lead to more motivation for them going forward. And I look at Scarborough's squad, I do think that they've got enough to go on a significant winning run. But again, have they just left it a little bit too late? Because when you look at the top of the table, you know, look at Colne week in, week out, they're picking up wins, you know, left, right and centre. And just looking at Ossett Town and the work that Grant Black's done, if you'd have told him 12 months ago when they were still fighting in a relegation battle, I remember they beat Harrogate Railway, I think it was about a year ago, you know, right now, and that was the win that kind of kick-started the run where they won 5 games, and then they actually ended up lower mid-table rather than near the relegation places by the end of it. But if you'd have told him 12 months later, they'd be 5th in the league and on a, you know, just an incredible run of form, really, which has seen them propel themselves into the playoff battle. You know, he'd have bit your hand off for that. He'd be absolutely delighted, and he deserves a lot of credit for the work he's done, because on not a massive budget, he's been able to get a lot of... I think what he's done is he's got a lot of players that believe in him, a lot of players that are committed to him, and that has seen them, you know, be able to... You know, players like Danny Frost, he was offered moves elsewhere during this season. These players are turning them down because they believe in the manager and they're enjoying what they're doing. And I do think Ossett Town have got enough. They've got games in hand on one or two teams around them as well. And I think the home form is going to be key, if you know, for them, because when they play there, they do seem to just turn it up a little bit more. And the hope is that they can get into them playoffs. And if they do, you know, what a great year it's been for Grant Black.
And I tell you what, you said if you'd have told Grant Black 12 months ago you're going to be in 5th. I think Grant Black said that actually 12 months ago from memory. He was convinced they were going to have a good season with a pre-season under the belts. So there you go, that's confidence for you. And just finally then, Tom, Ghoul, the Great Escape, is it on? I mean, Prescott Cables with the point deduction, it's now achievable, it feels. And we should mention that Ghoul of late have picked up some good wins, noticeably against Farsley.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the points deduction is the massive, massive news for Gull. Now, what they are doing is obviously they play each other this weekend, and Gull have put on a free coach for all fans to go down, you know, to really just try and get a bit more support there. And it, I mean, it is just, to me, this is a crucial game. It the definition of a six-pointer, and it's a big, you know, it were a big boost for Gull to hear that Prescott had been deducted them 3 points, because with the gap of 5 points, potentially eight if they were to lose, you know, you'd be thinking if they lost that game, it's a long way back for them. But now, although Prescott do have a couple of games in hand, you know, you do feel that Gull would rather have the points on the board rather than the games in hand. So, I mean, it's been a good run for Gull. They've gained some impressive draws, and they've been unlucky in one or two games conceding late goals. And the big thing for them, if they can get the win at the weekend, I think then the confidence will be there that they will be the team that are able to stay up.
Well, Tom Feeney from the Yorkshire Evening Post, job well done. Thank you for coming on and flying that flag with the white rose on this week's show. Should mention as well, obviously covering non-league for the Yorkshire Evening Post, it's happy times as well for Shaw Lane. It looks like they've opened up a bit of a gap, but a few more games yet to go, and waiting with games in hand. But point is, it's all happening on that east side of the Pennines, and there's only one place to go to keep abreast of it all.
Yes, you can give me a follow on Twitter. That's at Thomasini. I try and be as neutral as possible, but at this time of the season, it really is tough.
Well, Tom Feeney, thank you for joining us, and you keep up the good work. So, from the Yorkshire Evening Post now to the Lancashire Evening Post, and joining me, it's Adam Lord. So, hello, Adam. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me back. Seems like 2 minutes ago I was on, so...
It is. I mean, I've had to do the show a week earlier this week, but it feels like it's the right time to return to Division 1 North because, well, there's a proper good title race opened up now, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think about last time I was on, Lancaster were 9 points clear, and I think you opened up by saying, oh, it looks like you might have it, and there was a warning about, I said, sort of, you know, Farsley might come back into it, and then I must admit, it got to the point where I thought, well, now Farsley might pull clear themselves. They had a couple of games in hand. But, listen, Lancaster lost two on the spin. Farsley have lost to Gould, which was a surprise. And then Clitheroe a form team. So them going there and winning 4-2 was a surprise. But, you know, they're a good side, Clitheroe. So, yeah, with 7 games to go, level on points. Farsley got that whopping goal difference advantage, which could prove crucial. But it literally is. It's a 7-game shootout now, so... You know, may the best team win. Now, hopefully that's Lancaster.
Now, Tom Feeney just said he can't see either side losing or slipping up now towards the end of the season. Just feel, though, like he's going to be a war of... what's the word I'm looking for? Attrition? Attrition. That's the right word, isn't it? A war of attrition now, I think so.
I think I know what you mean, yeah. No, it's a funny one. I mean, speaking to Phil Brown, obviously, on a weekly basis, the Lancaster manager, Phil's reasonably content because, take this weekend as an example, Lancaster beat Tadcaster 1-0. Pretty unremarkable result, although they created plenty of chances, I'm told, wasn't it, the game itself. And Farsley, obviously, then outgunned Bamber Ridge 5-3, but then lost 4-2. So Phil's looking at it in the way that, one, they're going about it in very different ways. Lancaster are sort of, you know, a bit more hard to beat. They're grinding out a few more results, whereas Farsley are just trying to almost outgunning teams, you know. And I'm sure if you've got a season ticket there, you're getting value for money, because you look at those results and there are goals flying everywhere. So, war of attrition, I don't know. It's a very difficult one. I mean, the only thing that would spice it up would be if they were playing each other, but Lancaster already done a double over them. But I'm not predicting anything. I'm not saying nobody's going to drop any points, because I know that was said by somebody else on the show a couple of weeks ago, and look what we've got now. You know, they hardly picked up any points. it's a crack. It's what you want at the end of the season, really. It's
going to be. When we talk about slip-ups, then, I mean, obviously this weekend... both teams, if they don't get a result this weekend, I wouldn't be surprised. Farsley have got Bamber Bridge away, and Lancaster City have got Radcliffe Borough away. It's just one of those times of the season now where even on paper, it doesn't matter anymore. It could go either way.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. As we said, especially, I mean, the one that sticks out for me is Gould winning it. If Farsley is a cracker result. But listen, looking at Lancaster, I mean, games I have seen this season was Radcliffe at Giant Axe in a reverse fixture. Radcliffe sort of a bit more of a collection of players, if that makes sense. There's a lot of loanees from pro clubs, you know, a lot of pace and power, but not really much of a team. So for about half an hour, they looked excellent. A lot of pace, a lot, you know, there was a bit about them. But then as the game went on, they sort of lost the way of it, you know. So they're unpredictable. They're pretty wild. I mean, I know they're down there. And Bamber Bridge is another team that Lancashire Evening Post up here covers. So I know quite a bit about Neil Reynolds and sort of what he's trying to do there. And I know also that Neil Reynolds and Phil Brown know each other quite well, so I don't know whether Reno will want to do his mates a favour. They lost the first game, and in a quirk of the fixtures, you know, they're playing Brigg and Farsley playing each other again pretty quickly. So, as you say, listen, toss a coin, see where it lands, and we'll go from there.
And just a quick word, because obviously Lancashire Evening Post covers all Lancashire, really. Just a quick mention for Conan Clivero. I mean, they're on the outskirts of the playoffs at the moment. It's looking like now that it's a toss-up, isn't it, between about four sides, with Scarborough being the outside bet for that one remaining place, it feels like, at the moment in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was speaking to a colleague who sort of looked after the east of the county, which is Colton, Clithero, Nelson, and who are down in Norfolk, you know. He was saying, we were looking at it going, you know, he obviously wants, like, you know, if Colton and Clithero couldn't nip in, but it does look like playing for one place. Colton did really well, spent a bit of money, and Clithero, Simon Hayward's done an excellent job there. They don't seem to have lost many games, you know what I mean? I think they've drawn a few too many. But listen, I know earlier they took a point, they went to Giant Hats and got a 0-0, and yeah, that result against Fowles is absolutely, you know, it's a great result. But yeah, it does look like it's one spot up for graduates. I know a couple of teams are maybe wobbling, but they're quite clear, aren't they? The top four, say. So yeah, there's plenty to play for.
And all eyes, I'd imagine, are looking for that fixture on the 1st of April as well, where Lancaster are hosting Cone in, well, that's proper boom banger bang in the month of April, got to say.
Yeah, no, that's a big one. I mean, Lancaster, looking at it, Lancaster's running, could have it worse, could have it worse. I think it's okay. The big one locally is they've got the derby with Kendall still to come. And if Kendall go there knowing they can, you know, maybe put a permanent dent in Lancaster title hopes, I know they'll relish that. So looking at, I must admit, I'm not a good look at Farsley's running, but Lancaster's is okay. But as you say, Colne might be in a position where they need the points to get in the playoffs as well. So yeah, interesting times.
Well, Adam Lord, sports journalist from the Lancashire Evening Post, a big thank you for coming on the show. Just a quick mention for yourself and social media, plus where's the best place to keep abreast of the non-league scene in Lancashire?
Yeah, it's my Twitter is AdamLordLM, stands for Lancaster and Morecambe, because I cover that neck of the woods as well. Well, yeah, my job basically is Lancaster Guardian, which is the best place for Lancaster City, and it stretches into the Lancashire Evening Post as well. Lancashire Evening Post is plenty of Evo Stick MPL stuff with Bamber Bridge and others as well. So, but yeah, no, just thanks for having me on again.
No problem at all. Adam Lord, thank you for joining us. And I'm pretty sure to watch for April's edition, we're going to get you back on and then we're going to find out exactly what happened. Can't wait. Well, that's it for this month's Division 1 show. We hope you've enjoyed this month's edition. Next week, we'll be back with the MPL show, the monthly show for the Premier Division. Look out as well for Evo Stick Extra this week. We should say, even though the Division 1 show is a monthly show, over the course of April, it's going to be intertwining itself a lot more with Evo Stick Extra as we end the season with a bit of a crescendo, as we try and keep abreast of everything that's going on in the title race, in the playoff race, and for that fight for survival down the bottom end. So it's all happening in April, but we hope you've enjoyed this month's edition for March. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me, and a special thanks as well to Leek Town TV for that interview with both managers there from Leek Town and Witton Albion earlier. But that's it for this month's show. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show, and you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet, that's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this month to cheer on your Evo Stick Division 1 side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.